Welcome back, Dynasty lovers, to another episode of the Dynasty Interview Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Adrian, with my co-host,
Scott Martin.
Welcome back. We are finally almost there. This is our last rookie episode until 2022. We are going to rank the rookie wide receivers here. I figure we do about, I would say, 15, and then throw some other guys at the end here. But that's what we're looking at here. So it's been a long haul. Hopefully you enjoyed the quarterback rankings, the running back rankings, the tight end rankings. And now we'll finish it off with the wide receivers. And I know we were talking about this before we got started here, but these wide receivers, 1 through 8, very easy to rank. There's some variations, but you know who's there. The next 8, you could put them in a hat, pull them out one by one, and I wouldn't argue with that draft order. I think it would be perfectly fine. I don't know who's going where they should go. It's I'm looking at my order right now, and I want to change it. So
yeah, and then the next 8, then you just put them in a hat, pull them out, and throw it away.
So just do a draft like that.
Just do a draft like that. Yeah. Just draft them and then cut them. No, there's good value,
but trying to figure out who's going to be valuable in the next 3 years, because a lot depends on landing spot, depends on the quarterback, depends off if Aaron Rodgers is going to stay in Green Bay, depends on depth chart wise who the wide receiver is going to be there going forward. Then is Adam Thielen, is he going to be done in Minnesota? If he's not there in Minnesota, you give a big bump to Amir Smith-Marset then too.
So many of these guys, you have to bump up your board because of opportunity. And this is the range where opportunity trumps talent, because talent's gone. And just like, man, I love Jonathan Adams pre-draft. He went to Detroit with a great opportunity and they cut him. So I think we have learned our lesson on, wasn't Kirk Merritt, well, didn't he go to Arkansas State too? Have I got that backwards?
Kirk Merritt, yeah, I think he was, I can't remember where he went, but he showed combine skills. He showed, well, not the NFL combine, but his pro day. He showed good production on the field there, but just really wasn't drafted. He wasn't highly regarded as a prospect, and he was buried on the depth chart. I know when we were looking at our combo team, we put him on our practice squad, but ultimately it's probably just a waste of a spot then.
Yeah, I think whatever they're teaching down there at Arkansas State, they can definitely get these super athletic, uber talented guys, but it must not be translating, because that's the second one that's just gotten with uber athleticism and skills just passed over. That's
yeah,
something.
I think his ball skills are very nice. I saw a guy that was excellent on contested catches. It was probably some of the most enjoyable film I watched of the wide receivers was Jonathan Adams on contested catches. And apparently there must be something with the work ethic, because if you get cut now, even before actual training camp, it has to be something in your head, something mentally, more so than physically wrong, because I would think they would want to see what he's doing. And
especially No, he wasn't drafted. He was undrafted.
He was a free agent.
Yeah, but I think he was one of their priority, you know, undrafted guys. Like he was somebody that sort of, the deal was done early and he got paid a good amount of money. If I remember right, but
let's be honest, Detroit is not.
Well, he was the only type of receiver like that. So it's just really odd that. Anyway, Jonathan Adams is not rosterable at this time. So moving on.
Yeah, but in a few of the drafts, we saw Jonathan Adams, at least on sleeper, his ADP was
third round,
freaking high. Like he was a third round ADP. I'm like, I don't feel comfortable drafting an undrafted free agent there. And I know he's going to Detroit where they have nobody, but Yeah, but if you're drafting Jonathan Adams, God bless you. You waste the pick. And I don't think he got picked up by anybody that I could see, at least.
No, not yet. Wait till he goes to Atlanta, and then we all change our mind.
Yeah, then he gets cut 2 days later.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the opportunity, I think with the wide receivers, we used to be able to give them 2 to 3 years. But now there's good wide receivers coming into the league every single year. It's not just one or two or three top guys. You're seeing 8, 9, 10 guys that are good football players. And you probably want your wide receivers showing something in year, preferably in year one, at least something. And then if they don't show anything in year one, they have to come out of the gate strong in year two, or they're looking at this career trajectory of like Laquon Treadwell or who's the guy from Josh Dodson from, I think he was in Washington there back when they were called the Redskins. I could say that because it was back in time then, right?
Yeah. That counts.
Post-dating it. Okay. Just checking. And, but if you don't show something right away, you're going to get pushed down because there's talent coming in the league every single year. So I used to be one of the people that liked to pick up these wide receivers that didn't really show anything in year one, but you like their tape, you like their talent, and then hopefully they break out in year two and you can get a sort of a discount on them. But you take a risk now, because if you look specifically at the New York Jets, especially when you have a change in coaching staff, you have Denzel Mims, who's getting faded pretty heavily here. So they brought in Keelan Cole. They brought in Corey Davis. They spent a high second-round pick on Elijah Moore, and then they have still Jameson Crowder there. So Corey Davis, he's currently probably number four, maybe even number five. To have Jameson Crowder ahead of him on the depth chart there. So definitely worry about guys like that, like Mims. Then and then in Philadelphia, I was a big fan of Jalen Reagor. He was my number two wide receiver after CeeDee Lamb then, and he has been faded heavily, especially with the drafting of Devonta Smith then. And you have that, especially, and you also have the quarterback situation there where you have Jalen Hurts, who's not really a downfield passer. He has more of a run first quarterback. So
you want to hit early
off these guys.
Gladly buy Jalen Reagor and Denzel Mims right now. I love these prices. No, Go buy all of them.
Mims is my third wide receiver in that class last year, and Reagor was my number two. I would still buy Reagor. I still think he has the clear shot at being the number two in that team. I think he's probably a better downfield threat than Devonta Smith, so he still has value there. He
gets to be in the slot.
I would not be buying Mims at this stage. I would be very hesitant to buy Mims at this stage.
Just like I said in the pre-draft shows last year, Jalen Reagor is an elite slot talent. Put him in the slot, and now he gets to be there. So awesome. He's
still not a slot. They're still going to have him on the outside.
I love him for this year, so go get him. Now, Denzel Mims.
I think the price on Reagor is good, but Mims.
There is going to be a time, this time next year, let's say this time next year, when you're going to look back and you're going to say, man, we messed up. We should have so not been discounting Denzel Mims, because he adds a dimension that they don't have on that team. Corey Davis is a good possession receiver, but Denzel Mims is faster. He's quicker. He's a better route runner. He's a better red zone threat. He's a better talent. So he's going to play over Keelan Cole. Like I'm done with that. That Keelan Cole, he can get all of his little bump up for whatever you want, but Denzel Mims is going to play a lot this year, and he's going to ball out, and everybody's going to say, uh-oh, this guy might be the best receiver on this team, and they're going to regret it. They're going to regret, you know, getting rid of him, fading him.
Well, all I know is camp is Corey Davis, Keelan Cole running with the ones. Apparently, Keelan Cole and Elijah Moore are balling out. Along with Ty Johnson, we got him in cheap in our.
Yeah, Elijah Moore's a baller. He's a super stud slot guy. That's where he's going to play.
mostly. But yeah, I worry about Mims. I'm not saying Mims has no value. You should trade him for whatever he can get. I would be holding him, but you're not going to be getting any good value if you're trying to pawn him off on another team at this point in time. So I guess he's a hold. But we're not here to talk about last year's class. We're here to talk about the 2021 wide receiving class. So do you want to start off with, or should I start off this? Or we should both just say this guy's name right away and put Jamar Chase as the number one wide receiver in this class?
Yep, there's no debate. I feel like there's been a clear-cut number one at every position this year, and that doesn't always happen. But it is clear as black and white. Jamar Chase is a supreme all-around talent and had the best landing spot you could possibly have with a quarterback that he has great chemistry with. And, oh my goodness, like, this offense is going to be awesome, man. I can't wait for it. Jamar Chase is the perfect combination of everything. He's a great route runner. He catches the football well. He's super fast. I mean, 4.38 speed. I mean, that just takes your draft stock to another level when you have the body size and the ability to, make contested catches and such a polished route runner. And he's a complete package, man. And this is what you look for. This is what we wanted CeeDee Lamb to have last year, and he didn't get it. And yeah, sign me up for Jamar Chase. He's a stud.
So when I draft a wide receiver, the things that I look at are obviously the talent. Talent's here. Check. But the top four guys have talent as well then too. But the next thing I look at is the quarterback. The quarterback makes all the difference, especially for early breakouts. So in the past, I had the choice between Michael Thomas and Will Fuller. Will Fuller was the superior athlete. He tested better than Michael Thomas every single way. And I think he had a higher draft capital than Michael Thomas. But Michael Thomas had Drew Brees. Will Fuller had some Joe Schmo that was playing quarterback for the Texans before Deshaun Watson. So I went with the Drew Brees connection, and that paid off. Another guy in this subsequent draft class, I had a choice between Calvin Ridley and Miller from the Chicago Bears then. Miller had Mitch Trubisky. And Calvin Ridley obviously had Matt Ryan. And I think he was coming off his MVP year, Super Bowl year. And obviously I am choosing Calvin Ridley there. He also had the draft capital there as well. But probably as far as athleticism, probably he was trumped a little bit by Anthony Miller there. And then the third thing you look for is how good are they as route runners? Route runners tend to jump off the page more, tend to show early production more. And Calvin Ridley had that. Michael Thomas had that. You had this past year, Justin Jefferson, excellent route runner. And we said Jerry Jeudy was an excellent route runner, but I think he was hurt by that quarterback play. So you look in talent, you look in quarterback, and then you're also looking at the route running then. Those are the three things that make an excellent receiver. And Jamar Chase checks every single one of those boxes. So that's why he's my number one receiver here in this group. So at number two then, this is where the questions mark still come in then. So number two, I have Devonta Smith then. One, because he's a great route runner. Question mark as far as the quarterback, but he checks that box off as far as his skill set. So Devonta Smith, he's my number two guy in this class.
I mean, this guy's phenomenal. And if Jamar Chase wasn't the perfect kind of prospect at the wide receiver position, Devonta Smith is number one wide receiver in any class. He's on a film. There's nothing else to look for. I mean, if you didn't know the dude was 166 pounds, you'd never guess it. And I do think that people are going to be able to get up in his face and press him. But my concerns, like you said, they don't lie with his talent or anything to do with his ability. He's elite in every category. But when you go to Philly and you've got Jalen Hurts trying to throw you the football, I'm just not excited about that. And I found that caused him to... What's that?
Does it hurt?
Ha ha ha. That was a dad joke there.
Terrible joke. Moving on. Keep going.
I mean, this guy's phenomenal. He's going to be phenomenal as an NFL prospect. I just hope they get a quarterback in there next year. We'll see how it goes, but he's easily my number two. He's in a tier all by himself. So,
yeah, I think with his skill set, he still offers value for immediate production, and I think he should be able to overcome some of Jalen Hurts' flaws then, and get some of those catches near the line of scrimmage then. With his excellent route running, he can make get open and just be that awesome player you saw this past year when he won the Heisman. So that's why I have him number two.
Devonta Smith is CeeDee Lamb from last year. I like CeeDee Lamb a lot. I think I like CeeDee Lamb maybe a little bit more. But they're
like
very
Lamb
comparable
as far as a total prospect.
Yeah, top prospects, the measurables and such, except for how small he is. But the killed by the quarterback room and, all the weapons that are around him.
Well, yeah, CeeDee Lamb was hurt by not the quarterback. The quarterback was excellent. It was just all the weapons they had.
Yeah, but he wasn't excellent after he got hurt. They had Ben DiNucci back there trying to chuck passes.
But as far as when you're drafting him, CeeDee Lamb was a top three pick there in most dynasty drafts then, non-super flex. But yeah, CeeDee Lamb, I love CeeDee Lamb this upcoming year. I think he's the clear cut. I would say he's probably the 1A now in Dallas. And I would probably put Amari Cooper as the 1B at this stage of the game. And then Gallup is now a distant third then on that team. But I see a big year for CeeDee Lamb. I think he's going to go over at least 1,100, 1,200 yards then and have possibly 8 to 10 touchdowns. So I don't think anyone's going to be selling CeeDee Lamb, but if you can buy him, go for it. So who do you have at number three here?
For me, I do have both of these guys in the same tier, number three and number four. But you have to believe what you see on tape and trust it, regardless of what the quarterback situation is, regardless of anything else. This guy is he's the best route runner in the class. It's Rashad Bateman. And I hate that he's stuck with Lamar Jackson probably forever. But whatever.
It's going to be forever because Lamar Jackson and his mom are negotiating his contract.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, Rashad Bateman is phenomenal. You can't find a better route runner. He might be better than Jerry Jeudy in that regard. He is 4.39 fast, and his film is fantastic. This is the kind of guy that Lamar Jackson has never had. He's never had that guy who is a stupid good route runner who always gets open. Or did he kind of have that safety blanket, that guy that always gets open? He turned Mark Andrews into a top tight end. Can you imagine what he could do with Rashad Bateman? So I know people are fading him hard. I mean, I've seen him go back of the first round. And I can tell you one thing, pick eight down, there's no way he'd get past me. I love Rashad Bateman. He's easily my number three receiver, and I'm pumped every time I draft him.
Yeah, he was my number one wide receiver on film. It was close with Devonta Smith and Ja'Marr Chase. But I love Bateman watching this film. I thought he had everything you look for to be that alpha wide receiver in the NFL. Then it hurt a little bit when they mentioned it. They gave his true size and his true weight, but still, you saw he was dominant on film then. And we were both watching the draft together, and we saw what happened. We both just said,
"We could feel it coming. We could feel it coming."
Like, why? Anywhere but Baltimore. And that's where he landed. And so he bumps down to number three here, but you gotta take what you got in the film. His route, like I said, the route running, his athleticism, and then the question mark at the quarterback. But that's what it is for these three guys here, for Donta Smith, Rashad Bateman, and then my number four wide receiver, Jalen Waddle. I'm not a Tua fan. I've said it multiple times here. I think he's a game manager. I really do think he's a game manager. I don't think he's going to be one of these guys that's going to put up huge fantasy numbers. I don't think he's going to be one of these guys that puts up buku touchdowns, buku points for his team. I think he's more of a game manager. I think he benefited from the Alabama systems, making him look better than he actually is. I could be proved wrong here in year two. I know he's just a first-year quarterback now, and you see big jumps from year two, year three, but he's going to have to make a Josh Allen-type jump to get me back in his confidence then. But back to Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle, he is probably the most gifted athlete in this wide receiver class. His speed, his start and go, his just pure athleticism is top-notch. As far as route running, I think he has to improve on that. I think he can run most of the route trees, but I wish he was more of an outside wide receiver instead of just line up in the slot. But I think he can do that. I think he can line up all the areas in the NFL. We'll have to see how they use him in Miami there. But just on his talent alone there, he's in that number four slot here. I think he's a step down from these top three guys, but I like the talent here, and a guy I'd be happy to have on my team.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with the draft capital. You get picked sixth pick. They're heavily invested in you. And he's like you said, from an athleticism standpoint, he is phenomenal. He is literally Tyreek Hill speed. And I think that's what people are thinking he's going to be. It's just, I think I like Tua a lot more than you do, but he's not the kind of quarterback that's going to be able to, I don't see him being able to throw the ball down the field against NFL defenses. I think he was very shell-shocked last year, and I think he's going to bounce back and have a better year, but anybody who thinks he's going to end the season as a QB1 is just going to be disappointed. I think he's probably a fringe QB1 his whole career. I think that's probably best case scenario. I don't really see the upside there. And I don't see a guy who you can trust to be more than a game manager, a guy who's just going to be, status quo. He's a better version of Jalen Hurts that can't run. So I don't know. Tua is a guy that if you're in super flex, I feel like a lot of people have faded him down to where his value is good. But he's not a guy I'm trying to overpay for or go out and reach for. But I don't know. He's one of those, like we're getting close to that Kirk Cousins line there, I think, with Tua. So I don't know what to do with him.
I don't think he's as good as Kirk Cousins, but he could step it up there. But he is a guy that was drafted probably second overall in super flex leagues last year, ahead of Justin Herbert, just behind Joe Burrow. And I don't think people that drafted him can sell him cheap at this point. Maybe if you got him in a startup draft, then you could possibly sell him for cheaper or get him for cheaper then. But I would think people would be holding on to him at this point in time and still want a decent price for him going forward. That's one of the main reasons I'm fading Jalen Waddle here. But it's still the talent takes effect here, and you gotta draft him high then too.
Yeah, I think I see Waddle as a slot guy. I don't see him being able to be split out and be dominant. He's 5'9", 180. He will be relegated to the slot. He's going to be faster than everybody, and that's where he's going to make his living. He's just going to run by people. I think he's a little more complete than that, but I just feel like when you look at the people ahead of him, they are phenomenal in a lot of categories where he's just good in those categories. And then my next guy on the board, I'm not sure if it's your next guy or not, but a guy we're going to talk about later here.
We had these guys switched.
Yeah.
Next two guys.
Yeah, so this guy, he's elite at what he does. Whereas I think Waddle's just he's a speed guy. He's that guy that everybody falls in love with every year. That's that speed guy that just Henry Ruggs runs streaks down the field, goes by everybody, and then that's all you have. So, I don't know. I faded Waddle hard, and I've had opportunities to draft him at pick 7, 8, 9, and I've passed every single time because Mr. Bateman has been there. So, thank you, everyone.
Master Bateman. So, number 5, you got Elijah Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Number 5, I have Rondell Moore. But tell us, start us off with Elijah Moore here. I'll do Rondell.
Elijah Moore is one of the quickest cats in this class. He is, when it comes to being able to separate underneath as a slot receiver, there's no one in the class that's better. I think Bateman's a terrific route runner on the outside, and he can play inside too, heck. But Elijah Moore inside as a slot receiver is completely unguardable and in a story. I mean, if Elijah Moore was with a quarterback like Tom Brady, Elijah Moore could be the top receiver in the league. I mean, he just needs that quarterback that can get him the volume. That's all he needs. And Zach Wilson is a stud of a talent, and he is going to love how open Elijah Moore gets every single play. And one of the best parts is he can actually play split out at times, and he can, you know, run routes down the field, and his contested catch is pretty doggone good, and his ball skills are pretty doggone good. And like, when you have an elite slot receiver who can also play split out, it's just, I love Elijah Moore. I paid a future first round pick to go get him after I wasn't able to, you know, get him in one of my drafts, and I'm pumped about it. Elijah Moore is a top 7-8 pick for me, and I'm pretty excited for him.
Yeah, I love Elijah Moore. I thought his route running is excellent. His catch and run ability is excellent. The one thing that always stands out in my mind is how natural he catches the ball. It doesn't look like he even tries. It just goes into his hands and just stops, and just one fluid motion. It's just it was the most natural looking catcher in this class, bar none. No one is even close from that standpoint. I love his hooking up with a young, talented quarterback in New York there with Zach Wilson. It's a perfect marriage there. And I think he's going to be a nice outlet for Zach Wilson early on. Him and Jamison Crowder are going to be wonderful in the slot together then. And it's just the question with him is, what order is he going to be on the pecking order there? I think he's going to start out as number 3, maybe 4 wide receiver there, but he has a chance to go up the depth chart very, very quickly. And he's shining, at least in the non-padded, non-contact OTAs here. And it's looking good here. So I still question my putting the one guy ahead of him, but it's really close. And I can't argue with you as far as having at 5 and my next guy here at number 6 then. But
Elijah Moore,
the guy I
will be wide receiver 3 in depth chart, just on paper. As far as volume, I think he gets more volume this year than any Jets wide receiver.
But Zach Wilson's a guy that likes to get the ball downfield too. I think next year, when Keelan Cole's gone, if he can get outside and play slot, line up anywhere, his value skyrockets then. But there may be some hesitation or some diminished value here in year 1. But I do love the talent here, and he's excellent. No argument with that. As far as the guy I had number 5, I have his brother here, Rondell Moore. At number 5 here, it seems like Elijah, his twin brother, got the hype gene, because Rondell Moore is like a 5'7".
These guys really have no relation, okay?
If they did, they got some excellent genes.
Yeah.
But Rondell Moore, I gave him the comp of a miniaturized wide receiving Saquon Barkley. That's what I see. I see a smaller version of Saquon Barkley, elite athleticism, then a guy that has excellent run after catch abilities, these massive quads, and he is. I think he can be a Wes Welker type volume talent out of the slot for the Cardinals. Then, if Kyler Murray becomes more of a passing quarterback instead of looking to run a lot, and if he uses Rondell Moore as his outlet when DeAndre Hopkins is not open, I think Rondell Moore can absolutely feast. And he doesn't have to necessarily catch 10 balls a game like Wes Welker was doing then. He can take any ball to the house and just make your week with like a 90-yard touchdown then. He's that fast, that explosive. Just go back and watch the Ohio State game back a few years ago, and you can just see that coming out here. Well, the one thing you worry about is his injury history, and that does bump him down a little bit here and then cause him to be faded here in a few rookie drafts then. But I see the talent there. I see the opportunity. I think he's easily the second-best wide receiver on the Cardinals at this point in time then, and I don't think there's any argument with that. I don't think you're going to put Christian Kirk above him. The shell of A.J. Green is not going to scare anybody, and he's second on the depth chart here as far as talent-wise in Arizona right now, bar none then. So this is why I love Rondell Moore. I think he's going to be an excellent, excellent slot receiver. And I convinced you to draft him in our combo league. With that rant I just gave there.
Yeah, I cannot agree more with everything that you said. And the thing that allowed me to say, yep, let's take him over Terrace Marshall, is opportunity with an elite quarterback. And that in itself, knowing that he could have all that big time volume from the slot, get match volume with home run breakability, it's a no brainer. He has gotten to the early second round in a lot of rookie drafts that I've done, and you're getting a steal. He's going to ball out, and he's going to be one of those guys that you wish you pushed up a little bit higher and didn't take that running back just because you needed one.
So I assume you have Terrace Marshall as your number 7.
Oh yeah, there's so easily. And you know, I just want to say, because right here is where the list for me breaks hard. All of these guys are exceptional wide receiver talents. Like, I think every single one of these players starts on your team and is one of your top two wide receivers. And so I love the depth of the class.
In the future.
Yeah, in the future.
Not year one.
Yeah, definitely okay. Not year one. But this guy, I wish he had a little better landing spot, because I'm not pumped about him being in Carolina. But, I mean, the dude is 6'3", 205. And this is really our first bigger-bodied wide receiver that has such excellent skills. He's got the ball skills, but he's got 4.38 speed. And he's got, you know, he shows really good quickness and good route running. And I'm really excited about Terrace Marshall. I think he's the best receiver on that team in the future. I think he's the best receiver. I think he's what everyone thought DJ Moore was going to be. And has never been. So right now he's probably third in the pecking order, and you're not going to see that big breakout this year. You got Sam Darnold throwing the football too, so yeah, there's that. But I think in 2 years, next year, I really think his future is really, really bright. And I've drafted him a lot in this early second round, and I think I'm getting a steal. So I love Terrace Marshall, man.
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you said there. And I agree that year two is most likely his breakout year, barring the re-signing of Robbie Anderson. And Matt Rhule and Robbie Anderson go way back to the Temple days. So that's no guarantee right now. And could that hurt Terrence Marshall in the short term now and then also in the long term possibility there? And then also to see what Sam Darnold becomes here. Is he truly a product of Adam Gase, or is he just not a good quarterback? He's not a good NFL quarterback. We will see this year. Matt Rhule made Teddy Bridgewater look pretty good. Sean Payton made Teddy Bridgewater look pretty good. But we'll see what they can do with our boy here, Sam Darnold. Will he see a ghost in Carolina, or will he be a breakout star here? He's still young, but I think this is his last shot here to be a starting quarterback. And he's got great receivers here, and then we'll have to see what Terrence Marshall is. So there's sort of a break after the Elijah Moore, Rondell Moore stage here, and then I have Terrence Marshall, and then I have his number eight receiver on my list here, Kadarius Toney, together. Then I love Toney on the film. He was explosive. He was a big play waiting to happen. Then he had better size, toughness, tackle breaking ability, right after the catch ability than you would think just looking at him on the street there. And he's getting faded hard in rookie drafts. He was a first round pick. He was a first round pick in the NFL draft, and he's going mid to late second round pick. I don't understand why.
Yeah, I've seen him 210. 210. Single QB, yeah. Half PPR.
I don't understand why. What's the hate with Kadarius Toney then? Is it they're afraid his matchup with Daniel Jones? I think Daniel Jones is going to actually have a surprising year. I think he's going to be one of those quarterbacks that is primed for a breakout, especially with the addition of Galladay. You have Kadarius Toney. You have Saquon Barkley coming back here. And hopefully the offensive line is better. I think that's a big, big if there. But Kadarius Toney, I would jump all over him. And it would be one of those guys, if he's still sitting there in your rookie drafts, or there's a team that drafted Toney later that wasn't really high on him, I'd be trading for this guy. I think he's got all the potential in the world there. And I think you have Galladay, obviously, is the one, but Kadarius Toney could be that slot outside second number two wide receiver that falls in that wide receiver two, wide receiver three range for the next 5 to 6 years then. He could be one of those guys that just could be explosive then. And could he be one of these guys that becomes almost like that this crazy Tyreek Hill explosiveness then too? I'm not saying he's Tyreek Hill. I'm not saying he's going to put up those huge numbers, but he has the potential to do that. And the capital is there. The capital is there. So Kadarius Toney, he's still in this top eight group here. I think that's very clear cut as far as the top eight. And then we jump down into the next group.
See, the funny thing is I have him at 8-2, and I see the value there. And I would never let him fall past 2-5, 2-6, 2-7. If I have those picks, I'm going to use them on him. And this, we actually had one of those picks, and we were a quarterback needy team, and we needed Zach Wilson, and he was on the board. And we were right here, and we both love Zach Wilson.
Non-superflex.
Yeah, non-superflex. we had to take Toney. You're getting a guy with huge upside, but I'm not in love with him at all. I think he is maybe the fourth best slot receiver in this class, and he's just, I mean, I see that he has the really good quickness. Lord of mercy, he broke 32 tackles on 80 catches over the last couple years. That's insane.
He's got strong legs, man.
He played running back. So he catches everything. He's a really good football player, but I just don't trust Daniel Jones. I think he is not going to be there next year. I think you're going to see another quarterback coming in. I just don't trust that quarterback situation there. And when all I'm getting is a slot receiver with upside that's not really one of the best slot receivers in the class, it pushes me towards taking other guys. So I like Kadarius Toney. and I have him in the same spot as you, but I am not thrilled to draft him.
But five of the seven guys in front of him also have questionable quarterback play.
Yeah, and they're all better than him.
They're not better than him. Terrence is not better than him on film. Oh, yeah,
definitely. Definitely.
I love Tony. He's probably the most disrespected of all these wide receivers.
He is.
And
he is.
Take advantage of that.
Yep. Definitely take advantage of it. I don't understand how you can love him so much, I can hate him so much, and we have him in the same spot. You gotta recognize the value.
I could flip him with Terrence Marshall. I think just with that, the offense that they're running there in Carolina and that year two opportunity may be better for Terrence Marshall. I think Terrence Marshall has that size to be a true like alpha wide receiver one. So that's why I have Terrence Marshall still a little bit ahead. But as far as like the film, I like Tony's film better, but to each their own. So I'll let you start off the back nine here.
Give me some back eight,
we'll say.
Diami Brown. This is the last guy that I'm like excited to draft at the wide receiver position. There's good value guys that I kind of like some of these guys coming up, but Diami Brown, if I can get him at the end of every second round, I will draft him every single time. Give me Diami. I think he is super safe. He is in a great situation to end up being the number two guy there. And I know the quarterback room doesn't look great right now, but it will. It will.
Number two?
Yeah,
he's not going ahead of Curtis Samuels.
Yes, he is. He's way better than Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel, I'm not worried about him.
No.
I'm not saying Diami Brown's going to come out this year and light the world on fire, but in year two, year three, I see him being the second best receiver on that team behind McLaurin. And I just love a lot of things about him. And I think he's a guy that's got really good ball skills. He's fast. He has excellent quickness in and out of breaks. He's a plus route runner. I don't know what there is to not like about him. I love him. I love him. So give me Diami.
You meant nine. I have him at 12.
Well, who do you have at nine?
We'll get to that. We'll stick with Diami. So he is the definition of meh.
Nah, he's
not. I came away with this film just meh. I think he was. I don't have my list in front of him here as far as the wide receivers, but he was sort of middle of the pack as far as my film score. And I think he's a good football player. Do I ever think he's going to be a productive fantasy wide receiver? Not really. Does he have a chance? Possibly. I don't think he's going to supplant Curtis Samuels. He's got a big deal there. I don't think he's ever going to, definitely not supplanting Terry McLaurin then in Washington. And then I think you're going to have Antonio Gibson getting a lot more balls out of the receiving backfield here in year two. And then you have to factor in the tight end position. Are they going to get Logan Thomas the same amount of work that he's getting last year?
The answer is no.
But I just don't see it. I don't see it for Diami Brown. I'm just meh as far as his film. Is he a good player? Yeah, but I just don't see it. So I'm not excited to draft him. I'm not stoked like you are. But if he falls to me, I guess I take him. But I'm not pumped about it like you are. The guy I have at nine is
So now that actually, the drafts, all of our drafts are over. My spot that I have Diami Brown at on my big board is pick 2-6. That's where I've got him. 2-6. Two six. I got him ahead of Pat Freiermuth, Trey Sermon, Kenneth Gainwell, Nico Collins, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Amari Rodgers. How can you fault me for that? You can't.
I can fault you for a few.
You're taking Diami Brown over every one of those guys. I sure am. Yeah.
Well, number nine, I have Nico Collins. So, why do I have Nico Collins there? he's a guy that has the body, has a skill set, has a potential and opportunity to be a number one receiver on his team then. And he's going to the Houston Texans, who have Brandon Cooks and nobody else.
Yep.
I understand they don't have a quarterback right now, but theoretically that's going to change when they draft number one overall next year.
If they don't trade that pick away.
And when they have, if Deshaun Watson comes back, it's probably not going to be with Houston. And if he does come back, theoretically his charges may all be dropped. We'll have to see how that handles out here. I guarantee this is probably going to be settled out of court. And we'll see what the NFL does. But Deshaun Watson is not going to be back in Houston. Yeah, what they trade him for, that remains to be seen then. But I do like Nico Collins. I don't like his prospects, say, year one here. I think it's going to be a the absolute trashiest team in recent memory here in Houston. And they say they want to be a run-first team, and they have about 800 running backs that are all 10 years past their prime. So good luck with that. But Nico Collins, like I said, has the body type, has the skill set, has the potential to be that number one receiver, and that's why I have him here at 9.
Yeah, you can't. In this area, you have to take the guy with the highest upside. You're not looking for a safe option, because all these guys you're looking at here are, I mean, you're drafting guys that if you're getting a safe option, you're hoping they're flex starters. Nico Collins, if he hits and they have good quarterback play there and he is their wide receiver one, he could vault into more than a flex starter. So Nico Collins should not be faded. He's a solid second round pick. And I wasn't even crazy about him on the film. I just thought he had a lot of things that needed further development. But the thing that hurt him the most was his route running. He's just so limited. He basically just runs vertical streaks, and you'd like to see a whole lot more, but I mean, he's got a lot of other stuff to build on. He's got really good athleticism and good speed and great three cone and good explosive numbers. I mean, you mix that with opportunity and he could be a home run swing. Just take that cut, man.
So who do you have here at number 10 then? Well, actually, where was Nico on your list?
10.
10? Okay, so who do you have? Who's your next wide receiver off the board?
Well, I'm sorry to say it, but sometimes opportunity trumps talent. And here comes Amon-Ra St. Brown. He is that definition of solid, not special, great opportunity. So who else are they going to throw the football to? I guess Swift and Hockenson. So there you go. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Hockenson's going to have about 200 catches this year.
He might. Amon-Ra St. Brown, when we went into the film, I was like, what in the world is going on? I thought this guy was going to be one of the best slot receivers in the class, and he was not. So I just was very underwhelmed with the film, thought he was very average to a little above, and then he gets this great landing spot, and people have really, really bumped him up their draft boards. I don't know that I've seen him not go in by pick 2-7. And I don't love him that much. I mean, he's in the back end of the second round. I'll take him just because of opportunity. But he's not a guy that I'm excited about. But you have to have him here just based on what else is on the board. It seems like all these other position groups have fallen off by this time. And this is the position group you're looking at. You're looking at wide receiver, and he's gonna get an opportunity there. He's gonna get volume, and volume trumps talent 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, I bumped him up 7 slots on my wide receiver list post draft, just because of opportunity. I was not in love with him after I saw his film. He did not look like a good outside wide receiver. They tried to use him a lot more on the outside in his junior year here, as opposed to his sophomore year, and he didn't look as good as he did it the previous year. But he's got that opportunity with a fairly seasoned quarterback in Jared Goff, and he supported 2 high end wide receiver 2s. They did bump into the wide receiver 1 range with the Cooper Kupp there and then Robert Woods. And he could give an opportunity here to Amon-Ra St. Brown. We'll see how he lands in the depth chart here when the season starts, but definitely opportunities there. I still have him at my number 13 on my list here. But yeah, opportunity.
If you can buy TJ Hawkinson or DeAndre Swift, go get it done. Because I'm telling you, they're going to get so much volume this year, it's not going to be funny. Hawkinson this year will cement himself as a top-tier tight end. And DeAndre Swift is, I don't know what he's going to do on the ground, but he doesn't have to do much. I mean, he's probably going to get 6-7 plus catches a game. And he's going to rake, man. He is going to be fantastic. So people are down on those values right now. Try to take advantage of that and get rid of your Miles Sanders. Get rid of your Joe Mixons. Make it happen, man. Go get DeAndre Swift. Find a way to get him. Whatever you got to do to get it done. This is the year.
And also, I would go for Jamal Williams as a sneaky buy.
Yeah,
I think he's going to get an opportunity. He's going to be.
He gets PPR work in these bad game scripts.
Running back number two.
Yep.
This year.
Yep. You get PPR work in these bad game scripts, which you're going to see all year long. Which is why people shouldn't be so down on Jared Goff. This dude's going to come out and throw the ball 50 times a game probably. And I don't care. God. Volume trumps talent every time. If Jameis Winston can throw 35 picks in a year and still be a top five fantasy quarterback, Jared Goff, this might be his best fantasy year of his career.
I'm not going there, but I see your point. So my next guy on the list is I have Amari Rodgers. And this is mainly if Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay. I want to see a Rodgers-Rodgers connection. And I'm not talking about that tight end Rodgers that he had a few years ago. But Amari Rodgers, I liked what I saw in the film there. He is the definition of solid. So he is a solid slot receiver then. And I think he brings that element to the Green Bay Packers that they haven't had in a while. They haven't really had a slot receiver. They've had possession receivers with Lazard. They've had deep ball threats with MVS, but they never had a solid slot receiver since Randall Cobb.
And yep. This is who he is. He can fill that.
I think Randall Cobb in his prime is more talented.
Yeah, I agree.
Amari Rodgers. But Amari Rodgers is that slot guy that they've been lacking here. And I think he's going to be a big boost to Aaron Rodgers if he stays in Green Bay, which I hope he does. Just for my Davante Adams and my Aaron Jones shares that I have a lot of, and I'm trying to go for championships here. But Amari Rodgers, I think he's a very solid player, and I think he could slip into that wide receiver number three on a fairly frequent basis and even be a wide receiver two on some years. I don't think he's ever going to be a true wide receiver one, especially with Davante Adams there, but the potential's there long-term, so I think he's a very solid pick here.
Yeah, I love Amari Rodgers. Love the position, and it is a lot predicated on Aaron Rodgers because he knows how to utilize that slot guy, and I don't think Amari Rodgers can be Cobb in his prime, but he can be pretty doggone close. He is a sure flex option in the coming years. If Aaron's there for the next 2-3 years, I hope Roger stays in Green Bay too, because I'm still hoping Deshaun ends up in Denver, or Miami. So, we need to keep Rogers where he's at. I like him there.
So I do have some Jordan Love shares, but
yeah, I do have some Jordan Love shares, but still let's keep it there.
I was not a fan. I'm not a fan of Jameis Winston Jr.
Give me Cornell Powell. That's who I want next. The bully of a route runner, Cornell Powell. He's a little on the older side, but I love him there in Kansas City. He could absolutely be that wide receiver, two that they need. And I think long term, any wide receiver that they go out and draft that you compare with Patrick Mahomes, I love the opportunity there. Give me Cornell Powell. I liked what I saw on film. I thought he was an interesting prospect just because of how he plays the game. Let's be honest. Is he the most skilled player on the field? Absolutely not. He cheats. He's dirty. He hand fights. He pushes off a little bit. But you know what?
He plays the game
to be a stud football player. And I don't care. You get open, you catch the football. Catch is a catch. I don't care how you do it. As long as you're not pulling flags, doesn't bother me. I love his aggressiveness. I love a lot of things about him. I should have gotten him in the fourth round of a rookie draft, which is just nuts because that's where this dude is falling. But he should never fall past the third round. Absolutely not. And I've taken him in a lot of drafts in the third round, and I've been really happy with the outcome.
Yeah, he had the opportunity to be there long-term with Patrick Mahomes. He could be that number two wide receiver in the next couple years. He's still going to be the third option there behind Kelce and Tyreek Hill. But when you're throwing the ball as much as Patrick Mahomes, you want to have that opportunity to have that number two wide receiver there. So opportunity, and I do love the play of Cornell Powell. And I just wonder why it took him so long to come on there at Clemson. And it took actually injuries to their top guy, Justin Ross, then for Cornell Powell to actually take that next step leap. He's got a good landing spot here, so I can't argue with that. Another guy that has a good landing spot and was sort of just a meh and didn't really show much in his time for your Tennessee Volunteers is Josh Palmer. But I saw enough on film, and he was hurt by very, very questionable, awful, terrible, horrendous quarterback play. So I'm chalking
pretty
up
well
some
said.
Of that. What?
Pretty well said.
Pretty well said. Thank you. But now he gets to play with Justin Herbert. And Mike Williams is likely only there for one more year. So there's a clear shot at the number two wide receiver on a team with a stud young quarterback. And Keenan Allen ain't getting any younger either. So we always say opportunity, 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 and opportunity is screaming you right in the face with Josh Palmer here. So I got to take him at this slot then.
Yeah, I've watched Josh Palmer his whole career, and I like him quite a bit. I know that there are holes in his game. I know that there are knocks that people have on him that he just wasn't able to show how good he was in Tennessee. But he's not a guy that I'm in love with. You know, having said that, I think that there's no way he should ever get out of the second round. And I've seen that happen a lot. Like you said, Mike Williams will not be there next year. I just cannot imagine them bringing him back. That being said, on a win now team, Mike Williams is super cheap right now, and you should be buying him because he's going to have a nasty season if he stays healthy. But in the future, Josh Palmer has a lot of upside, a lot of opportunity, great quarterback there. He is one of these later round guys that is definitely better than what the film shows because you don't get an opportunity to see it. And I think he's even better than the draft capital, which was third round. I think everyone was shocked by him being a third round pick, but if he had been anywhere else, I think people would have saw he was a doggone good receiver. So I'm ecstatic to take him in the second, at the end of the second round, early third round. And it's crazy that he's falling mid third round and later. He's not my next guy though. There's one guy who has risen above, and it's Amir Smith-Marset. I have to remind myself that this guy was drafted in the fifth round. I keep thinking he was a late round flyer or undrafted guy. No, this guy has draft capital.
Fifth round is questionable.
Oh, whatever. This dude was a legit wasted talent in Iowa. you watch his film and you will absolutely come away impressed. And he's stepping in as going to be wide receiver two in a year or two. Easy. And his downfield skills, his ball skills are phenomenal. Opportunity. Thielen's going to start fading at some point, and I think this year's when you're really going to start to see it. And Smith Marsette's going to play outside, so I think you're going to see a lot of that target share go towards someone other than Jefferson, because Jefferson's not going to be so wide open this year. People are going to be ready for him. And Amir Smith Marsette, man, oh man, I love his talent. So he's another guy that he's a back end second round pick for me, and I have not seen him drafted anywhere other than a late third round pick. And I've seen him fall to the fourth. I've seen him go undrafted. There was a time when Sleeper redid their ADPs and he was bumped down. And I got him as an undrafted free agent. You will not have that happen now, but he's going to be in that early fourth round probably. And he is a home run smash in the early fourth round.
Yeah, he was my number nine receiver just based on film score alone. I love what I saw in the film. He's explosive. He's good hands, good route running then. And he's a top talent. He got, I don't agree with you that the fifth round is great draft capital. I think it's
good
serviceable.
Draft capital.
Yeah, there you go. Serviceable. And he's going to be the wide receiver three there for the next two plus years. Adam Thielen's contract runs out when they can actually get rid of out of him. He's there for two more years. And they're a run first team. They got Dalvin Cook. They feed him the ball a lot. They're not high pass volume. So his value in these 2 years is not going to be high. You could trade him for probably a fifth round pick in at the end of this year, or even like depending on where he's drafted, but you could get him. And I'm looking to target him probably after this year then too, because the opportunity is going to be there. Not in 2022, but that 2023 then. And like I said, I love the talent, and it's sad he went necessarily to the Vikings, but I was hoping more for a better landing spot. And I agree with you, probably he didn't get the opportunity to shine in Iowa, which is also a run first team, but we'll see what the future holds for Amir Smith Marsette in the great north of Minnesota.
This year's
but another
Darnell
guy
Mooney.
That
this year's What's Darnell that? Mooney. That's who he is.
Oh, I could see that, but last year's Darnell Mooney only had Anthony Miller ahead of him. He didn't have Justin Jefferson. He didn't have Adam Thielen ahead of him. And they weren't Chicago passed the ball more than Minnesota then as well. But I could see that. But as far as another guy that I loved on film, but the landing spot wasn't very great, is Dwayne Eskridge. I love this guy out of Western Michigan. He was awesome on film. He was so fun to watch, and he lined up everywhere. So he, even though he has this more size, is more of a slot guy, he was lined up on the outside, lined up on the inside. He was taking reverses. He was excellent. And then he goes to another spot where they have DK Metcalf, where they just re-signed Tyler Lockett to a big deal. So at best, we're looking at a number three wide receiver, and you have a running quarterback there, a team that's going to be wanting to run the ball, at least that they've been saying since the end of the last season. They even fired their offensive coordinator then. So it's not the greatest landing spot, but another guy that I absolutely loved. And the draft capital was actually pretty freaking good then too for this guy.
Yeah, 224. So, unreal.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure, like, why is Seattle drafting this guy when they're not going to be likely to use him as one of their top three options on the team here in 2022, 2021 or 2022 or even beyond that. But the talent's there. draft capital is there. He with Russell Wilson, who's very, very uber efficient. Then if say if Tyler Lockett was on the last year of his deal, man, I'd be all over Dwayne Eskridge at this point in time. But he does get faded a little bit here because of this landing spot. So, but I like I said, I love the player. Just the opportunity's not there. It's sort of like last year with Hamler. I think he was also drafted in the second round. And but in Denver, he had Cortland Sutton. They also drafted Jerry Jeudy and had Noah Fant there. So the opportunity wasn't the greatest for immediate impact. But as far as a player, excellent.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you said. Dwayne Eskridge, I think he's going to add some return game ability, which gives him a little bit more play in time. But, man, it's going to take an injury ahead of him to kind of get him the volume he needs just because he's that slot guy. But if something happened to Lockett and this guy got a chance, I think it's going to look good.
He'd ball out.
You could say the same thing about Hamler. Yeah, that's a perfect comp because they are both electric receivers in the slot. And I just wish he went somewhere else, man.
That's the whole premise of this 2021 draft class.
Yep.
I wish they went somewhere else. A lot of these guys went somewhere else. This class would look a lot better.
Oh,
and
yes.
And you'd have talent into the end of the second round instead of it falling off there sort of early, mid-second. And talent in the second into the third. But that's what the class turned out to be then. We're sort of going beyond our time here. So give me one or two more guys that you are looking at here, guys you're considering, or guys that people should pay attention to.
Yeah, there's only a few more people here that I like talent over, draft capital and position. And I love Tylan Wallace's film. I hate him in Baltimore. But this dude just has that ability to go up and get the football, time his jumps right, and he is a solid, safe football player. Lamar Jackson has the best receiving core he's ever had in Baltimore. And he is going to have a chance to be a better passer over the next 3 years. I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. He's not going to make a Josh Allen type jump, but he's going to be a better passer because he's got better players there. I really like Tylan Wallace. He's a guy I'd take a fourth round flyer on just because of how much I like this film. But man, that draft spot's terrible. I just, it's hard for me to draft him. And I haven't gotten him in any leagues just because other people have reached higher.
Agreed.
After that, you've got Dez Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. And then about to mention Dez Fitzpatrick there. His value just went boom. hit the floor.
his value was, why did Tennessee take him in the fourth round? We always take these questionable picks. I mean, I'm telling you, Fitzpatrick
his
sucks,
value
man.
Was shooting up the board in drafts. And then, then Julio Jones gets traded. And then I think Dez Fitzpatrick probably fell in the undrafted range.
Yep. I don't have any interest in him. I don't have any interest in Anthony Schwartz.
We didn't like Schwartz's film. Tutu Atwell, too damn small. And he's one of those situations where you're behind Robert Woods, you're behind Cooper Kupp. They recently drafted a guy in the second round last year, then too. They drafted another wide receiver, but I think they're moving him to tight end Harris in the fourth round this year. So I don't know what they're doing in Los Angeles, but they're sort of stacked on that depth chart right now.
Yeah,
and he's a gadget guy.
I'm not drafting Tutu Atwell in any league. I'm not even rostering him. Jalen Darden, he's got fourth round draft capital. He's buried. But he has return ability. He has ability in the slot. He's rosterable. I mean, I'm going to go out and waiver him, but I'm not drafting him.
Yeah, I like this film. I would draft him if he got to me. But he's usually going a little bit higher there, especially if you have a few Bucks fans in your home league.
Yep. You mentioned Jacob Harris. He is, and they're already rumored that he is big time project tight end. That their coaches are excited about there. And you watch his film, you're going to be impressed. So if you look at him as a tight end, that should hopefully make you feel a little more excited about him. But he's a guy you could probably waiver in every league, and you should. He's a perfect guy to stash. A couple years on the practice squad, see what happens. I like him as a deep stash. The last guy I have to mention is Trey Nixon out of UCF. This dude got drafted by the Patriots in the 7th round. He is a poor man's Rashad
Bateman. Almost man's Rashad Bateman.
He is a poor man's Rashad Bateman.
Almost man's Rashad Bateman.
And this guy, he's a really good route runner, and he's just a very talented guy. He's got 4.4 speed, and I really think he adds a dimension to that offense. It's just he's a little buried on that, you know, on the depth chart. So
buried. He's bird in litter box.
Yeah, he's a guy that I don't mind sticking on the end of my practice squad if I got a spot, but he's a guy that's better than being undrafted.
There's a lot of turds in that litter box in New England wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
Bill Belichick has to get the scoop around and pick some of those out of here and make it a little more promising.
Yeah, so Simi Fiocco out of Dallas. I mean, I wish he wasn't in Dallas because I love that guy's talent.
He's gonna be another tight end. So
yeah, I love that guy's talent, and he's balling out in camp. People are liking what they're seeing with him too. But he's too raw, man. He is not going to contribute in the first 3 years. And anyone who thinks that's nuts. So he's a guy, definitely star him, and then offer a 5th-round pick here in a couple of years, and then you can enjoy your asset.
Yeah, those are all the guys on my list. I think we gave you enough info here today. Check out the website. This guy's putting a lot of work into that. One other thing. Subscribe to the channel, Apple iTunes, like us, leave a review. It'll help get the podcast going here a little bit better then. And when it gets going, then we can put out more episodes and be more regular here too. So subscribe, and write reviews. Well, this is Joseph Adrian signing off.
This is Scott Martin, and you just listened to the Dynasty Interview Fantasy Football Podcast.